Hi everyone watching on YouTube and listening on Spotify, and we're back with the Behind the Broker series at the moment, just speaking to people who assist and act as ancillary products, if you like, for mortgage brokers. Today we've got Katie Dennehy with us, from Underwrite Me. So Katie, if you can just start with, can you tell me about your financial services journey, how you got to where you are now?
So I think we spoke about this before, haven't we? Like, anyone that we meet, really, that kind of fall into financial services, don't they? We don't really hear like, oh, I want to be in the financial services when I grow up. But I think how I started out really is, I think I was like 26 at the time. I literally just booked a one-way ticket to Australia on my own, just took a chance. And I got this job, like 3 days of landing, just selling insurance. I was there for nearly 3 years. I worked for a direct provider over there. We were underwritten by Swiss Re at the time, so I got to work quite closely with them, which was really good. And then I came back to England about 4 years ago now. And
why?
Yeah, honestly, I can't believe it's flown. Like, honestly. And I sold insurance here for a little bit, and that's how I got introduced to Underwrite Me and the platform. And I've been with Underwrite Me now for like 2 years nearly. So yeah, love the job.
Amazing. So talk to me and talk to the brokers rather who don't know. Tell us about what Underwrite Me do and what they do for brokers.
So there's a couple of different parts to Underwrite Me. But on one side, you know, we provide technical solutions to insurers to help automate their underwriting processes. Okay, so that's one side. But from a broker perspective, we have what you call the protection platform. And what that does for advisors is it helps them, you know, get instant underwriting decisions with just one click of a button, which, as you can imagine, will cut down a lot of admin time for the brokers.
Is that with every insurer?
No, so we do. Yeah, so it's one universal application across all products and providers. We do have 9 insurers on our panel, so not everybody's on there, so there is a couple of big ones missing, but that doesn't mean that, you know, people can't use us. And I know sometimes people can have that perception, you know, everyone's not on there, you know, we can't really use you, but once I get in there in everyone's offices and show them how it works, admire them, you know, it, you know, their heads turn completely, and they do realize that, you know, wow, this does actually save us a lot of time. So
I mean, I've spoke to a lot of people in regards to life insurance. I know this is predominantly mortgage brokers, but it's so relevant in, you know, especially with Consumer Duty. But let's talk about that. I mean, let's talk about the challenges that are coming up for mortgage brokers and how you'll be assisting with that and how their lives are going to change in regards to selling protection.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, when we first heard about Consumer Duty, we were like, well, this is us, like, we can help with this, yeah. You know? It's all about delivering better outcomes for clients, and that's the ultimate thing. And that's not to say that they've never thought about that. You know, it's just you're changing some of the rule sets a little bit. And one thing that, you know, that I have seen is, you know, some advisors have up to, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 insurers on their panel. And the only way that you're going to know that you're getting the best decision and the best outcome for your client is phoning everyone. Yeah? Yeah. That's the only way that you're going to know what the best outcome is. Unfortunately, you know, if you're doing protection, even at a mass level, you haven't got time to ring around, and you're not going to do it. So it's really hard for the broker to find that balance of, you know, trying to phone as many insurers as they can for each one of their clients. So I do get it. But when obviously Consumer Duty comes in, you know, that's what's going to make it a bit more difficult for them. So in my eyes, you know, I'm like, well, if you use the platform with some brokers, it's half of the panel, some it's more, you know, we're taking away, you know, the pre-sale, or a lot of the pre-sales calls and the duplication of application, because on our system, not only is the underwriting side obviously the massive difference between us and everybody else, but, you know, you can actually mix and match your products. So you can go, all right, well, I want, you know, a life and a kick with them, an income protection with them, and it's one app. So, you know, even on clean
paper. Have you got the data to kind of, is it increasing penetration? Is it a good thing? Obviously, it's a good thing for the industry, but is it increasing what brokers are doing. Is it already the guys that are selling it, or is it actually, because they're not the problem so much, are they? I think industry-wise, it's a lot of guys that don't know how to do it, or there's, you know, there's potential, they can't be bothered maybe, I don't know. But is there a link between working on this and actually and getting a better penetration with their customers?
Yeah, because, well, if you go back to what we said just then, you know, if they're, let's say, for example, they've got 12 on their panel, right? And you're ringing round and you might have a client that has a couple of disclosures, and you're getting decline, 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 decline. That advisor is going to lose momentum straight away thinking everyone's declining, right? So you get to insure a 5 or 6, you know, that no one's accepting them, right? Yeah. And you've got to think about their time as well. But, you know, it could be insurer 9 or 10 that could be covering them and they haven't got to that call yet. And we never say just use us. We say use it in conjunction with what you're doing, because, you know, you're going to get to your full panel with a lot less admin time. That's how, you know, we always say it. Use it in conjunction with what you're doing. Get to your full panel. And the feedback that we've had from advisors, it has delivered better outcomes for their clients. They've been surprised with insurer outcomes. Like, oh, God, I didn't know that they covered that. And they're getting the client covered, which is the main thing, really.
So just out of interest, not so much the underwriting, just as the brokerage kind of industry as a whole, but where do you see the challenges also with people selling protection at the moment? Because there is such a discrepancy between the top and the bottom of the penetration. You know, some people are smashing it. They're doing it right. You know, they're selling. And I believe it should be sold to everyone. You know, everyone. You know what I mean? Everyone who needs it, there should be a need, but there's very few people there isn't a need. So what do you think the issues are?
I think, I mean, it's different, isn't it? Because you'll have protection specialist brokers that only just sell protection. Then you'll have your mortgage brokers, and the common theme that we can see with mortgage brokers is that, you know, they always feel like they could be doing more with it, because it's time, isn't it? You know, it's the process. So when you know take Underwrite Me out, the typical process for advisors will be, you know, you'll start off on a quoting portal, won't you? And you'll have your list of indicative premiums at that point. There you'll have to select an insurer, okay? So if your client has a disclosure, that's when you'd have to do the ringing around, okay?
Yeah.
So you do your ringing around, you go direct to the provider, you fill out their online application, you get decline or refer a term. If you get decline or refer, you go back to square one again. Yeah. So think about a broker who's already doing mortgages, and all everything that's going on in the mortgage world right now, plus putting that protection process where you've got to be ringing around, you're doing duplication of application. It's that time, isn't it, really, that I think is going to be the biggest hurdle.
Yeah. Do you think time is the big issue with brokers? Because I always see it, and some people make time. You know, and I also think time is an excuse for a lot of things, isn't it? We haven't got time to. But, I mean, I'm a big believer in having a protection broker anyway,
with in-house. I see that,
yeah, it's because it's a much different sell as well. I think it's a completely different skill set from a broker. I think it's the difference between like a wedding photographer and a funeral photographer, someone who works on funerals. You know, I think like you're selling something amazing, oh, and then you're going to die. You know, it's a tough gig. Once you're giving someone the best thing they can own, or the most expensive thing, they've trusted you with that, and then you're going to talk about their death. I think you know, I don't know many brokers who have that skill set that can flick from one to the other that quickly. Do you think like protection only consultants are good for the industry, or?
Well, I mean, going back to, you know, a different skill set as well, you know, sometimes it's the kind of advice that you can go for as well, isn't it? Do you sell on price or do you sell on product? Because they're two different ones, aren't they? You know, I mean, when I was selling insurance, you know, I was always taught, you know, if you sell on price, they'll leave on price, you know, if you sell the value to them.
It's interesting when you look at the big insurers who are banging out those 400 man call centres. You know, I mean, all day long on £6 policies, and they're also running at 50% clawback rates. Like, that tells a story, doesn't it, of selling on price?
Yeah, but you know, we're in a situation now where, you know, price is going to be a big factor for a lot of people, isn't it? You know, everyone's bills are going up, mortgages are going up, so you know, advisors, it's finding that right balance, isn't it? You know, getting the right price.
Have you spoken to your brokers about that, about kind of the cost of living and that kind of thing? Has it come up as issues yet? Because I do think, I mean, I'm a bit older, maybe it's just and I've got 1,000 kids, but I think that my insurance is probably one of the last things that I'd look at, you know, before my Netflix and my expensive coffee and stuff, you know. But I don't know, is it a thing yet? Is the retention rates?
But it's because we're in the industry and we see the value in it. You know, there's many people that you know, we can speak to who are not in our industry, and they will see Netflix more valuable because they think they're young, fit and healthy, and there's nothing wrong with them and all that. It's a different mindset.
I'm in my head
completely.
I'm young, fit and healthy. I just know I'm not. But yeah. Do you think that's what it is? It's just because we see it day in, day out, we know the value of it because we're listening to brokers and we understand, we hear the horror stories and that kind of thing. Do you think?
Well, yeah, you know.
An education thing, perhaps, for people as a whole.
Yeah, and, you know, again, from being on the phone, speaking to clients and hearing their stories, you know, quite often, you know, people are inquiring about insurance when something bad has happened to them or something bad has happened to their friend or family. You know, but if it's them, sometimes you're like, oh, you know, it can be a bit late now because I'm going to be struggling getting your company. You know,
you have to get insurance on something in hindsight. Unfortunately, they don't.
Yeah, get insurance, you know, do they? You always find that something's happened for them to want to inquire, if that makes sense. Yeah. So if they have kids, you're like, right, okay, well, I need to sort this out now because I've got people to look after, or something bad's happened, or you know, that's from my experience anyway.
Yeah. On that note as well, it's very interesting. I think like young brokers should listen into that because some people just call people when their mortgage is up, you know, or they, you know, they just have that touch point when they might, you know, they need insurance now because their mortgage. But like you say, like people have kids, people change jobs, people start owning businesses, you know, they get married. There's so many reasons for touch points, and insurance is the biggest reason to increase your touch points with customers. And everyone knows the more touch points you've got, the more likely you are of retention. So, you know, insurance, even if they don't like selling it, it's just a great retention piece. If you're talking to your customers about insurance, they're not talking to your mate about it, who is potentially then looking at their mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think that it's just a bit of an untapped market, asking people, has anything changed? I don't think young brokers are taught it enough.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's like, you know, and especially if you're doing protection at mass level, it's keeping on top of that. If you're selling to how many X amount of people per month, then you keep it on top of that to check in to see if anything's all right. You know, it's
not saying it's easy, but it's how do you feel like brokers stay up to date? Do you think we as an industry think we're pretty on the ball? Do you think it needs more education, or kind of, and if it does, where does that start?
I mean, I think it's always important to educate yourself and keep updated with as much as you possibly can, because if you're speaking to people on the phones every day and you're speaking to your clients, you want to be well clued up on everything. So I'd always say, no matter how well educated you are, there's always room to learn more, you know, even in my case.
Can they do that with you guys? Is that something that is that part of it? Can they like keep on top of product changes and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so, you know, we do lunch and learns. I don't know if you've seen. So I recently did one with Guardian around the cost of living crisis, about, you know, them how they've supported their clients. And it's really nice to collaborate with insurers.
Is that like an objection handling type course, or is that a genuine cost of living? Like what you would say to your customers, or is it?
Yeah, it was like, you know, top 10 tips. It was Guardian's top 10 tips, really. And it is about checking in and being, you know, working with costs, or, you know, trying to get them to keep the cover, because it is important. But they did have some really good stories on there as well about, they had case studies about how, you know, that one of their clients made a claim, and not only did they obviously get their claim, but they actually supported their client out with the travel costs going to and from hospitals as that little extra support. And, you know, going back to, you know, the consumer duty and, you know, getting the best policies, and it's how you interact with the policies and the providers, and it's stuff like that that's, you know, so important to share as well. It's great to hear stories like that from insurers, because insurers get a bit of a bad rep, don't they? Like, oh, they don't want to pay out claims, and, you know, and hearing stuff like that.
They pay out a ridiculous amount, don't they? Like, it's in there, like, the 99s.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's Yeah, it does
you
get a bit.
Hear about the ones they don't pay out.
No, I just felt, you know, doing that joint thing with Guardian then and hearing them stories, it was just really nice to hear. And we need to be shouting more about stuff like that, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. In regards to you mentioned interactive, being interactive with your customers. Do you think the insurers that are a bit more interactive, do you think that gives some people more of a reason to stay, if you like, or do you think that's improving the market where you know what you how you live and that kind of thing is actually making a difference?
I think like you've definitely seen the difference over the last few years, haven't you, with insurers being a bit more interactive with their clients, because you know, again, when I first started selling insurance, they just paid for it, and you know, the amount of times I used to get people on the phone and be like, well, I'm not going to benefit from it, then I don't want to pay for it, I'm going to be dead. I'm like, oh. Whereas, you know, if you're talking to them about a policy, like, you know, these GP services, you know, how long are you waiting for the doctors? Especially, you know, if you've got kids, you know, you want them seen to as soon as possible. So I think it's really important to be interactive with things like that. And again, I watched a presentation from a provider not long ago, and they were saying, you know, that's how you kind of retain your clients, being interactive. Yeah. So, and little reward schemes that they may have and things like that. So, yeah.
There's touch points, isn't it? It's the same yeah. as keeping a mortgage broker, keeping an insurance client, you know, everything. It's just keeping in front of people so they know what they're paying for.
Yeah, exactly that.
So when it comes out your bank, you don't not thinking, what's that?
Well, exactly. You know, if you're not benefiting from it, sorry, it's a dog. if you're paying for something and you're not seeing anything back, that is the first thing that you look at, isn't it? Like, yeah. You watch Netflix. Well, you get your coffee. You're interacting with it. Sorry.
That's all right. So let's go back to people joining the industry and that kind of thing. If you can give any advice to someone joining the industry at the moment, what would it be? Or thinking about joining, what would you say to them? Or what advice would you give to someone moving into financial services?
I'd say 100% do it. Like, I fell into it. And I think everyone that I've met fell into it. And it's
no,
just...
I wanted to be financial services recruiter when I was 6. I remember.
It's just, I think it's the most common theme as well, isn't it? Like, everyone that I've met, it's like, oh, you know, I've just kind of fell into this. You know, but it's a friendly industry. Like, I've met, especially over the past, I'd say, year and a bit now, I've met some really nice industry people who I would like to call now my friends. And, you know, everyone's well connected. Everyone's really helpful. I mean, again, this is only of my experience, but everyone's been great.
I absolutely agree. For experience and helpfulness, I think you've got to go out there. Well, you'll see it on LinkedIn and that kind of thing as well, aren't you? Like, it's a collaborative industry. I don't know about other industries, so maybe everyone, you know, maybe every bricklayer helps out every other bricklayer. I don't know, but
it does feel like
the mortgage and insurance, it does tend to be a bit more collaborative, and the people are willing to share their knowledge.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. You know, I think, you know, being in my position as well, I quite like, you know, working with brokers and insurers. It's quite nice working, being in the middle of them, if I'm honest. Yeah.
You should just slag off the other one to the other one. I know those bloody brokers, but then go, they're not insured. good. That's really good. So, and that's really useful. Hopefully that has made it kind of clear to people as well, just in regards to people that aren't doing it at the moment. I think it's really important. I think that's the main thing people get from this, is that, like, insurance is so important. It's becoming a necessity.
Yeah.
Literally. You know, Consumer Duty is not, they're not going to play around, are they? You know, you have to get it done.
No, and I think the important thing as well is, like, you know, our system's free to use for advisors. So it's no real risk for them. You know, again, use it in conjunction with what you're doing. Again, we don't say solely use us, but it's a free system. You know, anyone can have access to it. We do demos every day, Monday to Friday, 12 p.m. It's get registered. It's really easy to do, and, you know, start using it, because it's really going to support you, in even if you had to.
And how, if anyone's listening to this and they're really interested in that, how do they get in contact with you? How do they speak to you or anyone at Underwrite Me? Where do they go?
Yeah, I mean, add anyone on LinkedIn. You know, you've got account managers across all over, so get adding us on LinkedIn, or yeah, just reach out to us. Again, go on underwriteme.co.uk. You can get registered on there as well, and register for the demo.
Amazing. Good. Like I said, I appreciate your time today, Katie. I really do. So I think it's I do think these Behind the Broker podcasts have actually produced way more interest than some of the others. So I do think, you know, brokers do look at these, and some people don't know. You don't know what you don't know, do you? So I think these are really helpful. So genuinely appreciate your time. As I said at the beginning, thanks everyone for listening to on Spotify and watching on YouTube. If you want to get hold of Katie, all of her socials are on the comments or the they'll be below this on wherever format you're looking at. And thank you again, Katie. I will catch up with you soon.
Thank you.